You might recall a couple of weeks ago, we told you about a traveling exhibit that's come to the Museum of Science in Boston. It's called Race, Are We So Different?
And based on the segment we did, the short answer to that question seems to be no, we're not so different. Race isn't so much a biological category as it is a social construct.
Yet racial divisions are still starkly apparent as one drives through the neighborhoods of Boston, where self-segregation makes neighboring communities like Milton and Mattapan so dramatically different.
And to grapple with that reality, the Museum of Science has just opened up a complimentary gallery to the Race exhibit. Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea checked it out.
In the Museum of Science, there's a big, dark room, empty of objects, but filled with music and voices. Disembodied voices bouncing between six speakers mounted high above.
I've told him he's excited the fact that it's going to be.
These two voices, however, have bodies, belonging to sound artist Halsey Burgund and Lisa Monroe's program manager with the Museum of Science. When the museum was first working on bringing the Race exhibit here from Minnesota, Monroe's had some meetings with local community groups.
And it was out of those conversations that we kept hearing over and over, we really want a Boston voice, something about Boston's race experience. And Halsey took it on and has just done an amazing job.
The installation these two helped create is called Voices Without Faces, Voices Without Races. Artist Halsey Burgund.
Race is such a thing that has to do with how we look, and removing the visual aspect of people and only listening to what they say and what, how they feel, and that was really something that resonated with me immediately.
Burgund led four teams from the museum on an expedition to interview and record hundreds of people on the subject of race, all of them living along Massachusetts Route 28, which runs from New Hampshire all the way down to the Cape.
And the idea was, we have this one road that passes through an amazing diversity of communities that exist here in eastern Massachusetts, so we thought that's sort of a nice thread to bring everybody together. So we had a list of, I think, four or five questions that we asked everybody.
What were they?
We first of all asked people how they identified themselves with regards to race or ethnicity. That sort of gets the conversation going. With the next question it usually went into was, when did you learn about race? Was there an experience that you had that all of a sudden made you realize there's this thing called race and it exists and it's part of society?
And here are some of the answers they got.
When I was a freshman in high school at the prestigious Boston Latin School, a lot of people had parents who dropped them off at school. I took the T and a bus stop. And
I remember the story when I was in high school. And the guy that I was dating at the time, I was going over to his family's house for Easter brunch. He pulled me off to the side and said, "My grandmother isn't so great at holding her tongue, so just I don't want you to be offended by anything that she says." And, you know, she's really traditional. She grew up in Ireland. She's, like, probably going to have a problem with the fact that, you know, we're in interracial couple. And I was like, we are? I guess we are an interracial couple.
It was very hopeful to see how much things have changed and are better now.
Once again, Lisa Monroe's with the Museum of Science, who herself helped gather these interviews.
Kids coming up today don't feel some of the same discrepancies that their parents lived through.
Because we're all people, we all want to learn about the world, we all want to...
Everyone's kind of the same, like race and ethnicity, like what's... I don't see where that really matters.
Sentiments like that came mostly from the younger-sounding voices. The more mature voices are more qualified in their optimism.
I see people from different ethnic backgrounds and from different generations collaborating with each other a lot more now than in the past. They're sharing information, they're providing levels of support, and a lot of collaboration is going on in those circles. My concern is when you step outside of those circles, it seems to be that it's still the same old Boston.
And of that same old Boston, much is also said. artist Halsey Burgun.
We did a whole section of the piece based on the busing situation in the mid-70s, and we went back and we interviewed people who were kids who were bused at that point. And
policemen.
They started moving kids out of the Boston school system.
Refugees from the Boston public schools.
At the beginning.
They were expecting riots.
You have no idea, you weren't here during busing, don't you dare do that.
Fear.
You have no idea.
Fear.
You know what I mean?
They say someone else.
We're violent, they say we're racist, so what do we got to lose?
In all, Halsey Burgund and his team from the museum interviewed 250 people whose voices are incorporated into this exhibit. So, what was the most striking story he heard?
Probably the story a woman told that about her children. She was a white woman who was married to an African-American man and has children, and they came home from school one day and were very upset.
We lived in Auburndale. They came home from school crying one day, and I asked them what had happened. The kids at school had been teasing them. What's the matter with your mother that a white man wouldn't marry her? And I was stunned, because that's not a child's question.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a child's question.
And that story is part of Voices Without Faces, Voices Without Races, running now at the Museum of Science. And reporter Adam Raguzzi is here in the studio with us. Nice job, Adam.
Thank you.
Sounds like it must be quite absorbing just to sit in the dark and let the music and those stories sort of wash over you.
Oh, it absolutely is. I should mention, however, that there is also a visual component to the whole exhibit. So Halsey Burgund and his filmmaker collaborator, Francois de Coster, they just drove the length of Route 28 where these stories were collected, and they filmed the drive with three cameras, one just looking straight out the windshield, one looking out to the left to the driver's side window, and then one looking right from the passenger's side window. So when you enter this great big dark gallery with all the ethereal music and voices, those films are projected in just enormous scale onto three of the walls.
Sort of like you're actually driving down Route 28 yourself.
Exactly, except that the three films are asynchronous, meaning that you'll see yourself driving through Mashpee on the right, and you'll see yourself driving through Andover on the left, while straight ahead you're headed down Eggleston Square right in front of you. So between that and the voices floating around, it's really an aggregate experience of this slice of eastern Massachusetts.
Well, thanks again for your work. That's reporter Adam Raguzia. And listeners, you can get a glimpse of what that looks like at wbur.org/Boston. We have a video up there, or you can have a look for yourself at the Museum of Science. The exhibit runs through mid-May.
Still ahead, what happens when state government ventures into a form of venture capitalism? Not just for specific companies, but for entire industries. That's today's Talker. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.